So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And so it was that as the wind they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Notice that. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God, except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." Our second scripture reading this morning is taken from the book of Numbers chapter 5. Numbers chapter 5, I will read from verse 1 and read up to verse 5. Numbers 5. If you don't have a Bible, it's up on the screen, but bring one next week. 5 verse 1 says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they put out of the camp every leper, everyone who has a discharge, and whoever becomes defiled by a corpse. You shall put out both male and female. You shall put them outside the camp, that they may not defile their camps in the midst of which I dwell." And the children of Israel did so and put them outside the camp, as the Lord spoke to Moses, so the children of Israel did. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Father, we thank you. Daddy, we thank you for the manna, which is your word this morning. Lord, even as we feed upon it this morning, we pray that we shall be filled, O God. Lord, not just filled, but Lord, that it will make a difference in our lives. Lord, this morning I ask for understanding in the ears of the hearers, O God. And that, Lord, you speak your word as you always do through me. Lord, I thank you. I give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The title of my message this morning is, "How Thankful Are You?" How thankful are you? You know, it's interesting because as we come to the end of the year, a lot of things go through a lot of people's minds. It tends to be the time that a lot of people go through their goals at the beginning of the year, which they may not have picked up since January. It's the time that we reflect on what happened during the year. It tends to be a time that we look at where we are and where we thought we would be. And you know, different emotions, different things go through different people's minds. Some people complain, some murmur, some are thankful, some regrets, and you have various emotions. But this morning, I just want to share one or two things from this scripture with you. It's interesting because the more I study the life of Jesus, the more I'm intrigued about his person. The more I'm intrigued about his teachings, the more I'm intrigued about his wisdom. And what I've come to realize is for people that are serious with God, for people that are serious about their Christian life, that we can learn a lot from just studying the Gospels alone. Now, I'm not saying that's the only thing you need to study. But you can learn a lot from studying the Gospels and applying those teachings in your life. And you know, this morning, I just want to try to apply one or two things that I think may help us. You know, it's interesting because if you look at the Gospels as well, you find out that when Jesus walked on earth, the people that came into contact with him, those that were serious and meant business, they experienced a life-transforming process in their lives. It was a life-transforming event that changed their perspective. The same way your life could be transformed by his teachings. Your paradigm needs to be shifted every time you hear the word of God. Every time you read the scriptures, you need to be able to meet with them, apply it, and cause it to change your life. The verses we read just now in the book of Luke talks about 10 lepers. It says there were 10 lepers. And as I read this, I find it interesting because the Bible makes us to understand that those 10 lepers When they came into contact with Jesus, their life changed. There were 10 of them who were lepers. The minute they came into contact with Jesus, something happened that hadn't happened to them before. Prior to them coming into contact with Jesus, they were living a life of insignificance. They were living a life of obscurity before they met with him. Their life was one of mystery. It was one of loneliness, the life they were living. And how do I know that? Because in those days, like we read in the book of Numbers, lepers were treated as outcasts in society. They were put aside. They were not allowed to live with the society. Their life, their way of living was different. They were not allowed to come into close contact with people. In fact, the Bible says there that they stood afar when they saw Jesus. So they did not come close to him, but they were far off from him. And that was the life lepers lived in those days. In those days, when they were walking, as they are coming, they had to shout unclean, unclean to warn people about the disease they carried. So their life was one of mystery. Their life was one of obscurity. They were outcasts. They were not reckoned with. If I were to put it this way, I would say that they were living a meaningless life. They were living an insignificant life then. Amen? And, you know, the Bible tells us that in the book of Numbers that we read earlier, it says that lepers had to be put out of the camp, which means that they were not regarded as part of the nation of Israel. They had to go away. And even after their leprosy was healed, they needed to report back to the priest and for the priest to examine them and say, are you well or not, before they gave them a clean bill of health. So it was quite interesting that that was the life they were living, but something happened. When they came into contact with Jesus, all that changed. But I'm not so much here to talk about leprosy, but I just want to set the background, and I'll just set the background again and to share one or two things. In my study, I found out that leprosy is an interesting disease in the sense that when somebody has leprosy, in those days, if they had leprosy, there is a progressive loss of feelings in the affected parts of the body. So if it was in their hands or their legs that they had leprosy, progressively they started losing the feelings. So the sort of feelings that you have in your hands, in your legs, they progressively lost that feeling. And after some time, the disease would so affect the nerves of the body that they lose all the feelings in those areas, either their hands, their foot, or whatever the case may be. Now, it may not seem so important, but when you think of it, when you lose feelings in your hands, that means that you cannot feel pain. You cannot feel anything. Well, so what does that mean? They might put their hands into fire and not realize it until it gets burnt and destroyed. So leprosy was quite interesting that the hands or legs or whatever part it is lost all feelings. And it could be destroyed without the person realizing it until he sees it. Now, how does that apply to us? We know we don't, there's no physical leprosy in this place, and we don't see much of it in the Western world. But you find that there's spiritual leprosy, a lot of it in the world. But not just in the world, in the church. Remember I said that leprosy, when somebody has a leprosy, they start losing feelings. The nerves, they start losing the feelings in there. And with spiritual leprosy, what happens is that a person that has spiritual leprosy begins to lose their sensitivity to the promptings and the directions of the Holy Spirit in their life. They stop having what you call a conscience. Their conscience begins to become seared after some time. They start losing the pain of sin. For people that are sensitive to the Holy Spirit, when you sin, there's a pain in there when the Holy Spirit convicts you. But the minute you start losing that sensitivity of the conviction of the Holy Spirit, there's a spiritual leprosy developing in the person's life. Am I making sense this morning? And you see, as much as, you know, we look at the scripture and we talk about physical leprosy and we can read through it and we can think that, oh, That does not apply to me. You sometimes find out that spiritual leprosy is even more dangerous than physical leprosy. Because with physical leprosy, you can see it. It is visible to the eyes. But spiritual leprosy is not visible to the physical eyes. And the person might have spiritual leprosy but not realize they have it. Or they may have spiritual leprosy and be in denial about it. Am I making sense this morning? So, what am I talking about this morning? You see, when a person no longer feels the chastening of God in their life, then there's a spiritual leprosy developing. Spiritual leprosy is dangerous because it can lead to destruction. Am I speaking to someone this morning?
Yes, sir.
But I'll share a bit more on that as we go along, because I just want to get to the... But if you, the Bible tells us that these 10 lepers, that's when they saw Jesus, they did something. They lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." They recognized that Jesus could make a difference in their lives. They recognized that Jesus could change their destiny. They recognized that Jesus had something that could solve the problem they had. They realized that if I can get his attention, the physical leprosy I have in my life might change. They realized that the physical leprosy that they've been living with does not have to continue forever. You know, as I was talking about preparing this message, it occurred to me that some of us need to cry out because of the spiritual leprosy that has developed in our lives. We need to go back to God and say, "Lord, I need your help in this area. Help me, Lord." You see, spiritual leprosy, that's just one side of it. Spiritual leprosy is such that when you begin to do certain things and begin to compromise, spiritual leprosy is developing in your life. Let me go on. As they cried out to Jesus, the Bible tells us that Jesus told them to go and show themselves to the priests. Now, his response was, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." Now, for somebody that has leprosy, and you cry out, "Help me," and they say, "Go and show yourself to the priest," and nothing has happened, my thoughts, I mean, when I was thinking of this, I was thinking, I would have thought Jesus would lay hands on them, or Jesus would pray for them or something. But notice this, their obedience led to their deliverance. Because Jesus did not touch them, he did not pray for them. But watch this, in verse 14, it says, so it was that as they obeyed what Jesus instructed them to do, they were cleansed. The Bible did not say that they were cleansed before they left the sight of Jesus. The Bible did not say that they were cleansed because of Jesus said, "Go and show yourself," and that they were cleansed immediately. But as they went, you see, their obedience led to something in their lives. As they obeyed, they received their healing. I don't know if you are following my train of thought. As they obeyed, the physical leprosy that had held them bound, the physical leprosy that could lead to their destruction in life, as they obeyed what Jesus said, something happened that caused that leprosy to go, to be healed. Now, the Bible says that as they went, they were cleansed. As they went to the priests, the words of Jesus, the cleansing of the Holy Spirit came upon them. As they obeyed, listen to me, yeah, listen, as I'm speaking right now, and I'm trying to get to the crunch of my message. As you obey the instructions of God, as you obey his word, as you obey his teachings, the spiritual leprosy that may have been searing your spirit will be cleansed.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
You know, for me, if you look at it, they were cleansed, but what tripped me most is in verse 15. The Bible says, and one of them, when he saw he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God. Notice what it says, one of them. Let's jump back to verse 11 or 12. We started with 12. How did we end up with one that remembered to come and thank God? We started with 10 people that were healed. And only one person remembered that somebody did something in my life that changed my life. A lot of people in the church are like the 10 lepers. The remaining nine, I beg your pardon. Whereby we have forgotten the place where we are coming from. Let me repeat that. You know, if not for Christ, a lot of people here would have been dead. I can say that for myself, because I don't know, I mean, before I was in Christ, I had been involved in a number of accidents. Now, if I had not, only God knows whether one of them would have killed me afterwards. If not for Christ, a lot of people here will be wrecks. If not for Christ, a lot of people here will be drug addicts. In fact, some people were drug addicts. But Christ has changed them and turned them into deacons. And a lot of times we forget where we are coming from. Remember from the rock from which you were hewn. I don't know if I'm talking to somebody in this place. You see, a lot of us have spiritual leprosy that we don't remember to go back and thank God for what he has done for us. Spiritual leprosy develops in your life when you begin to forget the blessings of God. You see, I look back and I think of where God has brought me from. You know, I was listening to a minister wrote to me earlier, and I could see the frustration in his voice. Because sometimes, you know, when we come to church, a lot of us have become so sophisticated. We've become used. You see, when you begin to see the blessings of God as your right and not a privilege, you've developed spiritual leprosy. Let me help you. Let me help you a bit. Just in case you are still thinking that, Pastor, I don't understand what you're talking about in terms of spiritual leprosy. You see, let me use an example. Usually when a man first gets married, he's thankful to God for his wife. Whenever she cooks, he says, thank you. He's happy. When she cooks, because before he got married, the food he used to eat was tasteless. When he gets married, when the food comes, he says, man, this food is good. Thank you. After 5 years of marriage, where is my food? You mean my food is not ready? Rice again? The same thing that he used to thank God every time. It now becomes, that's my rice. But let me help you. Some women, before they get married, they are praying to God for a husband. They are praying, Lord, husband, this kind of husband. When the husband comes, they start treating him anyhow. I'm not saying thank you for coming home. You are laughing, there are some men. There are some men that don't come home. When the man comes home, he's coming from work, he's been at the meeting. Where are you coming from? Why are you late? Is this the time? Listen to me. You think I'm joking? You see, years ago when I was a student in Cardiff, and this is a true story. True story. I have a friend, and I mean, he wasn't a Christian, obviously. But I had this friend. He was married. Had a child, or I don't remember whether one or two. I don't remember. They were living in London. And this, my friend, with a couple of other friends, they came all the way to Cardiff, not telling his wife. They were there for about 2-3 days, partying and tripping around. And after about 2 days, 2 or 3 days, his wife was calling around all the friends, "Where have you seen my husband?" Listen to me. There are some men that don't go home. When you begin to demand as your rights, then spiritual leprosy is developing. Let me help you a bit. Let me help you a bit. Just in case you are single, so this husband and wife does not apply to you. Sometimes you are praying to God for a job. "Lord, help me, give me a job." You finally get that job. You are complaining that the work is too much. "They want to kill me in this place." I don't know if I'm making sense. Spiritual leprosy has developed in your heart. The same job that you were praying for. Let me help you, just in case you are unemployed. A lot of times when we sleep, we take it as a right that we are going to wake up. We assume that the fact that I'm sleeping, I will wake up the next morning. But until you hear that somebody died in their sleep, you begin to realize that, "Lord, I thank you for waking me up this morning." I don't know if anybody understands what I'm talking about. Oh, my goodness. Let me help you a bit. Let me help you a bit. You know, I don't know if you've ever been in a situation. It's happened to me before. I had no money. When I say no money, no money in my pocket, in my hand, in my bank, anywhere. I was searching through the house looking for £1 that I used to buy bread and baked beans or something like that. I'm serious. True story. I said, when I found that £1, I was glad. And then now, a lot of us, we've gone past that. So the challenge is, I don't have a car. Or the challenge is, what we complain to God about is, "God, I want to travel to Nigeria on holidays. I need money. I want to go." Oh my goodness, I don't know if I understand. When you begin to think, see things as your rights and not a privilege from God, then spiritual leprosy has developed in your spirit. And you see, listen to me. If you look at this story very carefully, those lepers, the 9 lepers, they had physical leprosy, but the fact that they did not come back. Although the physical leprosy was healed, but there was something that they still had that was not healed. A lot of us forget the blessings of God. A lot of us forget what God has done in our lives. Let me help you a bit. Let me help you a bit. Perchance you are studying. A lot of people are trying to get out of Nigeria or come to study here or do some course. And God has blessed you to be able to do the course and stay here. Or even to start the course. And then we are complaining about the workload. I don't know if I'm talking to somebody here.
Yes, sir.
Or you get in here, "It is too cold. This weather." I heard the story of a gentleman, the minute he stepped into his throat. "Father, thank you." True story. Listen to me, I'm complaining about it. It is too cold. Hey. Spiritual leprosy. And listen to me, once spiritual leprosy develops, get this. We start becoming insensitive to the little blessings of God. That's one aspect of spiritual blessing. You know, I'm just facing the thankful, giving thanks this morning. We start losing the sight of those little things that God is doing. A lot of times, we focus on the material things. We don't see the victory we are winning in the spiritual. A lot of times when we set goals, we set the physical goals and the things that we think, oh, God ought to do. But we don't realize the growth we have developed spiritually. I was reading the testimony of a certain gentleman. Maybe he would have, I mean, it's a long one. He probably have a chance to give you some state. And, you know, this year, when he wrote down the various things that had happened, and I was reading, I was thinking, my goodness, this is a lot for one human being to go through in a year. At the end of it, he said, he's thanking God. He said, whoa. He sent a testimony to me on, I think, Friday. I couldn't open it. But by he sent it, I think, Friday. I checked in the morning or afternoon anyway. But I think he sent it maybe midnight, Thursday, Friday. Now, by Friday afternoon, he sent a text, an update to my testimony. I've just been made redundant. But I'm thanking God. Oh my goodness. I don't know if anybody understands this. Before the end of the day, the same place where I was made redundant, they were trying to get him a role. But he said, I'm laughing at the devil and thanking God. Listen to me. It might seem that things are not happening according to your plan, but it is happening according to God's plan. It might seem as if things are not happening in your life, but they are happening in the spirit on your behalf. Listen to me. It might seem that all hell is breaking loose upon you. You need to get this. But heaven is breaking loose on your behalf. And the minute you lose sight of what God is doing, those little things, you miss what God wants to do, the bigger picture. You see, those 10 lepers, they lost the bigger picture of what God wanted to do. Or 9, I beg your pardon. It's only one of them that cuts. Let me show you. You need to get this. You know, the Bible says something here. In verse 19, I'm jumping a bit. It says, and he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. They were physically healed, but they were not well. Because if they were well, Jesus would not have had to tell the one that came back that your faith has made you well. So there's a difference between the healing, which is just one part of it, and the being made well, which is a whole complete thing. The 9 people, they lost sight of what had been done for them. And they did not come back to thank you. So they missed the bigger picture, but got the little one. I'd rather have the whole thing than just one little aspect. Am I making sense this morning? Listen to me. Let me try to complete this message. The Bible tells us in verse 16, it says, this one leper that came back, he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. That's Jesus. And the Bible says, and he was a Samaritan. Now, for those that are Bible scholars, you will understand this. Because, in fact, Jesus then said it in verse 18. He said, were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? Except this person that is a stranger in this land. The one leper that came back was a stranger in the nation. And that probably explains why he came back to say thank you. The others probably saw it as their right, since Jesus was an Israelite. So since he's an Israelite, we are Israelites, and he can heal. So it is my right to be healed by him. So, but the foreigner was thankful that thank you for help. You see, sometimes it is Christians that, oh my goodness. You know, sometimes when you've been in church for some time, you become familiar with the things of God. That it now becomes, well, that's part of life. That's my expectation. That's God. That's your role. It's like the husband that comes home. My food, that's my right. You know, there are many wives that don't cook. I don't know.
You
mean there are some? If you find a wife that knows how to cook, man, thank God. Because there are some that cook that don't know how to cook, and they are eating. You know, the nine saw it as their right, and they expected it. They saw it as one of the roles that Jesus needed to fulfill in their life. Let me give you just about two free points that will help you, and we'll close. Two free points. The first thing is that never become too familiar with the things of God. The minute you start becoming familiar with the things of God, you begin to take His blessings for granted. Now, when I say familiar, I don't mean that don't understand. You see, let me. The Bible talks about a certain gentleman called Obed-Edom. And it says that the ark of God had been in the house of Uzziah and his family for so long. Now, that scripture always puzzles me. Because it says that they were carrying the ark of God, trying to take it into the city. And the cart they were using to carry it stumbled. And in a bid to cause it from falling down, Uzziah reached out his hand to support it. And God killed him. You know, God still killed. The doctors would just say unexplained death. But that's by the way. But the Bible says God killed him. Listen to me. I always go back to that scripture that, oh God, this man was trying to. And sometimes, you know, because there are other people that touched holy things and were not killed.
That's right.
And they were not Levites. The Bible talks about David and his men going into the temple, eating the showbread that was meant for the priests. And they were not killed. So I sometimes wonder, but God, why? And the only thing, and this is me, the Bible doesn't say it. The only thing I can think of is that Uzziah, when the ark was there, had become familiar with the ark. The ark had become a pally-pally and he would put his leg on it. And sit down and cross leg. And so the ark had become something that he just saw that. So when he moved out of the house, of their house, the Spirit of God probably engulfed the place again. And he's still thinking that, hey, what's an opportunity? Let me show. But you know, interestingly, the same act of God that killed somebody entered into the house of another man called Obed-Edom. Within a period of 6 months, the Bible says that the household of Obed-Edom was blessed. That when David, the king, heard it, he went to carry the ark. I think God is blessing this man so much. Time will not permit us. I would have come there to show you guys. But it says that David, he went to collect the same ark. You see, David was the one that was initially carrying the ark into the city. When he saw that they killed Uzziah, he thought, let me put it in the ark. Before they come and kill the whole nation. But you see, when I think of it, what's the difference? It must have been the way Uzziah treated the ark and the way Obed-Edom treated the ark. It's the same ark, nothing changed. So the same God, depending on how you treat him, will determine what he gives to you. When you begin to become too familiar, you see, when you begin to be familiar with a person, you cannot receive. I'm not saying that don't be friends with God. There's a difference. Familiar means taken for granted. When you get familiar with the person, you begin to take them for granted. You know, there's a saying in the country where I come from. They say familiarity breeds contempt. You know. So when you get familiar with somebody, you start seeing them as isn't it? But, and sometimes we can get to the stage whereby the little things that God does in our lives, we begin to take it for granted. Number two. Second thing that will help you is we need to begin to focus on the things God has done rather than complain about the things he has not done. Thank God for the ones that we have rather than complaining or murmuring about the ones that we do not have. You know, the mistake a lot of people make is that they spend so much time praying and asking God for things. Whereas if we could learn to spend much more time thanking God for what he has done, rather than just spending so much time praying about what he has not done. Now, I'm not saying there's nothing wrong against praying for things, but spend more time thanking him. Lord, I thank you for this. I thank you for what you have done. I worship you. I praise you. And you begin to see a change. You see, we can get to a place whereby we no longer appreciate God. Or we underappreciate the things in our life. You know when you underappreciate, you know. I remember we watched, there was a film we watched with the married couples. And it was talked about, how many couples? About four couples, different couples. You know, various stages, married, and it was just talking about relationships and things. And there was this particular couple. The husband had gotten to a stage whereby he would used to treat his wife anyhow. And when I say anyhow, I won't go into the details because of time. But on this holiday, they organized a holiday, all those four couples, I think. And on this holiday, some events happened, and some things happened anyway, whereby the husband basically said, okay, I don't want to be married anymore, give me a divorce, I think. Of course, the woman was devastated. But along the line, she met somebody, and that somebody appreciated her, and she repackaged herself. And then a few months later, this husband that dumped her saw her and said, I was trying to get back. Listen to me. When you don't appreciate something in your life, the value diminishes. And you cannot see the treasure in it. Anything you don't appreciate, you can never see the treasure that is in that thing. Am I making sense? The third thing, principle that will help you is your thanksgiving opens the door to more of God's blessings in your life. And if you look at this in verse 19, it says, Jesus said to him, arise, go your way, your faith has made you well. When he went to thank Jesus, he wasn't expecting anything more, but he opened the door for him to receive more. And then lastly, just say this as an add-on. Remember to thank those that God uses in your life. You know, a lot of times we don't realize that God uses our boss as well. We don't realize that God uses our friends. We don't realize that God uses those around us, our neighbors, in various ways. And sometimes we just take them for granted. But remember to go back and thank them. Even the same boss that seems to be, God is using him or her to do something in your life. I saw this when I was doing some research. And it says, it just talks about perspective. That look for the sun, as in S-U-N, do not dwell on the clouds. Don't focus on events or things, but on people and on God. Let's rise up and pray.